Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Effing Bag Show. And we are here for the next hour, maybe a little bit longer tonight. And of course, joining me as usual, my co-presenters, and of course, they are the birthday girls this week. And the bottom left, of course, still not had it, but it's coming. He's Ali. So welcome, Ali. And of course, she's just had hers. That's where all the birthday flowers are there, and everything else is there. So. How are we, Emily? Are we okay?
Oh, good. Thank you. Evening, everyone.
And of course, we are joined by the man that has actually turned Twitter, Facebook, social media has gone through the roof in the last week. And of course, we have the legend that is, of course, Bill. And Bill, we're so happy to have you with us tonight. I can't say how much we're happy to have you. We've even had messages from Russia. Asking about you this week, so it's you.
Did the guy leave a name?
The guy didn't give a name, mate. No, it was Putin. Oh. I think he said his last name was, but I don't know what.
That's what I was thinking.
So how are we, mate? Are we okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good, good, good. And I mean,
I take the tablets every day, and yeah, that keeps me going.
I mean. I'm going to pass over to Ali because Ali's got loads of questions for you. And I'm going to sit back tonight and I'm going to listen to all your stories because I've been told you've got some fantastic stories to tell. So I'm going to sit back and I love listening to the...
She's a very kind young lady.
Thank you, Bill. I'll give you £20 later, mate. That's much appreciated. Dad sneaks into the back
Barry's
of the camera.
Barry's in the background. Hey, Barry.
Hello,
can I just say, you, Dad?
Before we hit, he's going to get a mention when he was in my football side, talking football.
I'll be honest with you, Bill. I've seen something that happened this week, and I must mention it before Ali takes over and asks you some questions. Oh my God, what an incredible singer your dad is!
Who me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
don't go
more
away.
Of that, more of that. More of that.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
Incredible.
You won't get out the door at this rate, David, honestly. I've had that for nearly 33 years. Every day I'm singing about, honestly.
Give it this later. Anyway.
Go on, Ali.
Thank you, Bill, as always. So I think that, obviously, I know you from Cray Wanderers, the legend that you are down at Cray. I think it'd be nice if we could, one question from Russia was for you to say a little bit about yourself, Bill, what clubs you've been at and a little bit of your football story and what's brought you on here today, really, apart from me threatening you.
Well, it was exactly that. Mm. Somebody said you wanted what the clubs I've been to.
Yeah, if you can do, Bill, just a little bit of your backstory, really.
How long have we got?
Have we got
extra time?
Yes.
We'll be here. Extra time penalties.
Okay. Ali,
golden goal.
You can do the count.
Cool. I've got my fingers ready. There's more than 10. We're going to struggle. I have to get my toes out.
Right. Let me start by the age of 16. I was playing for two local clubs in Lewisham, one on a Sunday, one on a Saturday. I was invited to go down to Millwall for trials. I went down there. I played about two games. I think it was in their reserve sides. And then at the age of 18, I moved on into the army.
Ah.
Now, believe it or not, never played football for the next 4 years. Anyway, eventually came out of the army and went back to Millwall again. Again, just flirted with them, didn't succeed. And then my next move was to Dulwich Hamlet. And at the time, they had the Yes Men League reserve section, and I played a few games for them. Got injured for half a season, went back, never got back in any side at all. And then I moved on to playing in the London Alliance League, or Lewisham, and that was sort of senior or Kent Senior League. Then most of my stuff was local stuff, and then I went into coaching. when I got my coaching badge at, 34 years. First club I went to, I went back to Dulwich Hamlet, became their manager of the youth side. Then I moved out to Essex, and then I went to Basildon United, Billericay Town, Morgantown, Canby Island, came back to London, went to Cray Wanderers, then I went back to Essex, and I went back to Purfleet, who became Thurrock, and then I moved on from Thurrock to Hornchurch, and then back to Cray Wanderers. How many is that?
I'll be honest, Bill, I can only count to 12, if I'm being honest. And once I got past, I didn't do well in maths at school, so I ran out of toes. You know what, Bill? I mean, what a legendary story that is, and how many clubs. I mean, it's a testament to how many people love you, I think, around football terms.
Yeah, well, when you've been around in football for over 60 years, you're bound to get around a bit, aren't you?
Well, it's been said, isn't it, Bill?
Well, I've got two things to remind me. As it so happens, I just have a couple of medals here.
Oh, he's gonna medal show us, Emily. Watch out.
He left in about 10 minutes before he shamed us.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Bill, before you actually show the medals, yeah. If people are watching, there is issues tonight with Facebook. So we do apologise. And the Facebook situation, there has been a few issues during the day with Facebook. We are live on Facebook. We are live on Twitter. And we are live on YouTube as well tonight. So just in case your Facebook does start to crack up, we are there on Twitter. And we are also on YouTube as well with YouTube. If you want to go to YouTube, if you want to search, it's literally, if you just want to search my name, David Square, you'll find it on there, and you'll find the show live on there now. And it's at the Repos on YouTube, on Twitter. It's at Repos T Podcast, ST Podcast.
Okay.
So you can pick us up on there just in case you're struggling to watch Bill tonight. Sorry, Bill.
Okay. So, as I was saying, first one I got was, you probably can't see the date, but it's 1952. That was the first medal I got. The last one I got was at Cray Wanderers, 2019.
I got one of them too, Bill.
No, you got one too, yeah. Now, in between there, I've probably got another 26 medals. Awards. But the one I like most, if I may get this one.
Oh, she's...
This is my favourite one. This is what the Army gave me.
Wow.
And that was my 4 years of Army service.
So I think, Bill, I've got a leading question from that, really. You've led him beautifully for that. You built for this, Bill. So a young gentleman you may know called Nathan White. He's a bit of a legend in his own right. He said, Ali, get him to tell the story when he met his old compadre out shopping, because it blew his mind. I think that's regarding your Army days. I believe it was Eltham Sainsbury's.
Yeah, Sainsbury's in Lee Green. Oh. Actually, I thought you might ask me about that. Listen to the story. It was near Remembrance Sunday in November. I've gone into Lee Green, gone through the checkout, and there's two guys in British Legion outfits selling poppies. I went up to one guy, and he had the same medal and badge that I had when I was in the Army. So I said, well, where did you serve? And he said, in Malaya. I said, what year? And he said, 1950 to 54, and I asked him his name, and it's a guy I knew 57 years ago, and we met up for the first time after 57 years. Now, Billy was going blind, and he had a British Legion carer. He picked up on the story, and sent it to the Sun newspaper. The Sun never published the story, but they gave it to the people. And on that Sunday, I just had a show happened to have this boy.
Oh, Bill, what a bro.
I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That tells the whole story about how we met up after 57 years.
Oh.
Now, Billy actually got shot out there, and he always thought I was the guy that saved him, but it wasn't me, it was somebody else. But when credit's about, I always take it if it's off it.
Take the credit, Bill. We didn't know that.
Now, on the Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock, a friend phoned me up. They said, I've just seen my photograph on TV, which was what I just showed you. And it was on a show called The Andrew Marr Show on a Sunday. Excuse me. Now, Andrew Marr interviews presidents, prime ministers, kings, queens, and all of a sudden, it's me popped up. And that was my claim to fame. I've been on the Andrew Marr Show.
That'd be nice.
I think I'm about to have a live question, guys, from Tony Russell. He's literally just texted me saying, Ali, ask Bill, and there's a little typing. So, Emily, if you want to jump in for a minute, I've got a live question.
I've got one question just come through from Facebook tonight, Emily. It's more of a statement probably than a question, but it's from Stephen Sprignett. And he's turned around and he said, Bill, the biggest compliment I can give to you, is that you are the Sir Bobby Robson to non-league football, loved by absolutely everyone.
Oh, I'll tell you a story about Bobby Robson, provided I don't lose my voice. Yeah, so you're saying about Tony?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, we know Tony quite well, the two of us. So he's asked me to ask you about when you were in the Sun newspaper with regard to football. And equally, he thinks it's really important we share your age, Bill. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you can let the people, let them know, you don't mind me asking how old you are, young man.
Okay. Well, it's a difficult question because it's all according to who's asking it.
Yeah.
Right. I'll let you work that one out yourselves. 87.
Can we ask you what you drink so we can look that good when we're 87?
Probably not gin.
Yeah, when I see Tony, I'll kill him about mentioning. Oh, it's a Sun newspaper. Okay, I'll tell the story. At that time, I was at Hornchurch. I could kill Tony. At that time, I was at Hornchurch, and we were playing Peterborough in the FA Cup. And they sent down a reporter, and he was talking to our centre-half, who was getting on in years, tremendous non-league player, Jimmy McFarland. And I was asking him about his age, and Jimmy was telling him how old he is, and he said, but wait till you see our goalkeeping coach. He is 75 years of age. Okay, no problem. Now, it so happened that I really will kill Tony, I'll tell you. I was meeting this young lady and I told her that I was 62. Now, she's looked at the Sun newspaper. 75? Yeah, he told me he was 62. I won't talk about the phone call I got the next day.
Oh, Bill, it's like being back at football, mate. I'm enjoying this so much.
Yeah, if I give him my voice, yeah. So,
And Bill, did you play football in the army or did you just like...
No, for 4 years. Free? 4 years, never kicked a ball.
Oh, my goodness. Did you miss it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it was 1952. World War II was over, but there was a lot of conflicts in other places in Southeast Asia. And I was part of the army that was sent out to Southeast Asia, and was out there for nearly 2 years. Then we came back, and then I was in the Army Reserve. Most weekends, I was playing soldiers on Salisbury Plains. All we used to do is march up and down, dig a hole at night, sleep in it, and then march back. So never played football. 4 years. Now, that is my excuse for not getting on in my football career as a player.
Well, I mean, some people have served their country on a football pitch, but I think you served your country in a way more rewarding way.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the guys, were, you know, are getting called up at 18, 18 and a half. And, you know, that's the way it was in those days.
Oh, it wasn't a choice? Like, you didn't go in as a choice, you were called?
Oh, yeah, you were called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on there, it was called National Service. And, yes. you know, providing you were fit, you were either put into the Air Force or the Army.
Okay.
And then actually, I came out, and then that's when I started going back into London.
Ali, what other questions have we got for Bill?
Okay, so I've got one from a young man. Again, you may know him, and I know Tony's listening. He may agree or he may not agree with this. I don't know, Tone. It's a young man called Dean Carpenter, and he's asked you, Bill, who is the best left back? Love from Carps.
Carps and I have had a few conversations about that. By the way, conversation is the in word now, isn't it? No, seriously, you hear all the time now, oh, yeah, we have to have a conversation with that person or that person. Yeah. Carps, I thought, was a tremendous left back. But he had this thing, he wanted to play in midfield. And I would say, playing in midfield, his performance fell by about 30%. Good fullback. Should have stayed there.
Thank best you, Bill.
Back, one of the best left backs I've seen in non-league.
He will love that. Thank you, Bill. And I think the another question from Cray Wanderers themselves, which was, I think it's probably Mark in hindsight. He said that obviously we saw a terrible injury recently with Wolves, with Rui Patricio. And had you have a sub keeper come on? He said, in your day, Bill, did you ever have the issue with keepers being concussed or injured? And he just carry on till the end of the game. I think there's a lot of documented problems with keepers playing on, Bill. I know you're hard as nails, mate, as I know from my experiences a couple of seasons ago.
You can tell that story later on, perhaps. Mm. Give me a break, try and get my voice back.
Of course.
Yeah, let's come back to that thing about injury. Young ladies, in football, what is your job title in football?
How long have you got, Bill? I've got many.
No, job description. Job title.
Look, I'm a physiotherapist by trade, Bill.
And yours?
I'm a sports therapist.
Exactly. Now, before we had that physiotherapist, we used to have guys called sponge men.
Right? Still a few about, Bill.
Yeah, still a few about. And their job was to look after the players before the game. We used to have that thing called liniment they used to rub on their legs and cut the tie-ups for the socks. Then go on to the bench. Players would get injured, and that's when they would come into their own. They would run on the pitch with their sponge. And the first thing you used to do was put it on the back of your a cold sponge on the back of your neck. And then, this is true, the next thing they would do, if you'd been knocked out, they would hold up a number of fingers. And if they held them up, yeah, four fingers, yeah, you're okay. And that's how it was, up until about the 60s. And then everybody got a bit more professional and we got the physios in. Like you two, top people.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill, Peter Jackson just come in and said, who was the best goalkeeper you've ever coached?
I've got about five goalkeepers, and I would put them virtually into the same bracket. There might be little differences, but none that really mattered. But if you really pushed me to it, it'd be a guy called Paul Gothard, who's now in New Zealand, and he's now the goalkeeping coach for the national team. And he played for Dagenham, a very good Dagenham side. And once he packed up, he went into coaching. So I'll probably give the vote to Paul. But after that, you know, I've got Lou Carey, I've got Nicky Blue, Glenn Knight, who also played for Cray. It's difficult. In fact, I can recall an England manager. I'm going back to the 80s now. He couldn't make his mind up. And he used to play Ray Clements one international match, and then Peter Shilton the next one. The goalkeepers hated it. But let me tell you about head injuries.
Bill, who would you play, Clements or Shilton?
Shilton. He went on to win 125 caps for England. So he must have been quite good. Now, you talk about head injuries. Have you ever seen that photograph?
Yes, Bill. It's the stuff of horrors, isn't it? For a physio. Yeah, we can see it, Bill. Thank you.
That is Bert Trautman in the FA Cup final at Wembley. He's dived in at somebody's feet. His knee, the opposite number, his knee has hit him on the forehead and broken his neck. Still 15 minutes to go, and that guy stayed on the pitch. And he made two good saves after that.
Bill, please stop telling that story, because the next time we'll try and take someone off, they're going to compare themselves to this.
Now, also remember, if you go back to the 30s, there was a Celtic goalkeeper that died. He's gone in at somebody's feet, taken a knock on the temple. Apparently, you've got a big vessel, have you, behind there? That was split, and poor lad died. But now when you're coaching, can I show you another photograph?
Of course you may, Bill. I love how well prepared you are, Bill. I love
it. Now, by chance, this is.
Just by chance.
Yeah, purely by chance. When I'm coaching young goalkeepers, or any goalkeepers at any club, you're taught to go out, get as near as the ball as you can, and be big. There's a good example of it. Can you see that?
Bit higher for me, Bill.
Little bit higher, Bill. Keep going up.
Oh, he's teasing us now. A bit higher,
keep
Bill.
Going up, Bill.
Can you not see it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Great facials.
Yeah. That's how he looked last night when Spurs got beaten.
Now, what he's done, he's got as close as the ball is, close to the ball as he can. None of this going forward, hands leading, and your head forward. Get out, be big.
So, when I was at Brentwood two seasons ago, our goalkeeper, Rob Budd, came out for the ball and took out our centre half, Cuba Gordon, and took him out clean out, like Sparkle. And I was like, buddy, anyone but our own players. What's the worst injury you've seen, Bill, as a goalkeeping coach, to happen to a goalkeeper?
Are you not sure? I didn't get that last bit.
What was the worst injury you've seen as a goalkeeping coach to happen to one of your keepers? Or personally?
I think possibly a dislocated shoulder, where the keeper's come out for high ball. The attacker is bent forward. So the keeper's gone over his back and taken the weight, his full weight on the shoulder. The boy was in so much pain, we couldn't move him. is in so much pain. But if I can come back to head injuries, about the finger business, when I was at Dulwich Hamlet, the first team were playing Bromley away. And the manager said to me, I was the manager of the youth section. The manager said to me, Bill, the sponge man can't make it. Can you do the job?
Sponge man.
Me being me, yeah, I'll be the sponge man.
I'm changing my title.
No, seriously, he's a very important person. So I've got along, and the Dulwich centre half, Peter Galen, he's knocked himself out. So I run onto the pitch, done the usual thing, sponge on the back. And I've held up fingers. And I said, Peter, how many fingers? And he said, two. Now, the book never told me what to do if somebody gave you the wrong number. So what have I done? Yeah, that's right, Peter, you're okay.
I was going to say, Bill, you tend to just go, yeah, that's fine, mate, on you go.
Yeah. But can you know, imagine how primitive that was. But since, well, long before that, football, like any walk of life, has evolved. And when you look at the equipment you've got now to what we had back in those days, it's completely different.
Bill, I mean, do you mind?
The most important thing was the football. If you see any photographs of footballs that we used to have back in the 50s, unbelievable, like lumps of lead.
Bill, do you mind if I share your story of your recent head injury at training and our little adventure? So it's good to be a testament to how what a legend Bill is. So we had a training session, obviously, was it a year ago, Bill, or 2 years ago? I forget now, what it's curtailing.
Excuse me, I'm losing my voice.
That's all right.
Lockdown.
So I'll give your voice a little break for a minute, Bill, and just show how a brave, amazing goalkeeper. Goalkeepers never change. The goalkeeper union is a very strong union. So we were at training with Cray, and on a Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, we always have our pre-game chat, discussions with Tone and Vinesy around patterns of play. And before that point, the younger keepers go out with Bill and they do a bit of training. So because Bill still actively trains at our club, which is amazing in itself. So I'm sitting around listening to Tone chat about patterns of play for the upcoming game. And in comes running one of our young keepers. It was young Tiwa, saying, Ali, I was like, oh, Tiwa, what do you want? I'm busy. Listen to this. Says, Tiwa, Ali, Bill's on the floor. I went, you what? So I went charging out there as quick as I could. When that come out of Bromley, looked across the pitch, and there's Bill on the floor. I thought, oh no, what's happened here? So I went running over there. It turns out Bill had a little trip and hit his head in the post. So I've gone over there, I've made sure Bill was okay. There's a lot of blood around and a lot of issues, and my heart sank because Bill's my favourite at Cray. I know I'm going to have to say
Bill was sitting here. You told
I only told it to Nath once, Bill.
Yeah, I'm your favourite, you're right.
You are, you're my one and only favourite, Bill. But went over there, I said, Bill, are you okay, mate? What's happened? And he was, honestly, considering that he's on the floor, he's been knocked out before I got there, luckily come around before I got there, and bleeding everywhere on his head. The geezer's still trying to get up to carry on training the kids. He said, don't call him, Ali, I'll be fine, I'm having kittens. If I can get anything ready. And we had to wait a little while on the floor, didn't we, Bill, you and I, waiting for the ambulance to come. And then obviously I went to A&E with you. We had a great old laugh, didn't we, in A&E?
Oh, yeah, about 1 a.m.
That was really great enjoyable. Night, actually. We were sharing stories all night. It was lovely. And I think it's a testament to how tough goalkeepers are. All Bill really cared about was that he was in the middle of the pitch for training for the first team. I couldn't get him off.
That was funny because I said to Grant, the goalkeeping coach, and also Lou, the goalkeeper, and I was brave-faced, oh, lads, don't let me hold things up.
Yeah, just play around me.
You're still laying in the effing goal mouth.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I said, honestly, like, it was one of those moments. I think, you know what, in football, we'll have to keep a cool head as physios. I think that was the one moment, Bill, probably. I've had a panic up when I've seen somebody on the floor, and it was you. Because, you know, you don't expect it.
Someone's just come in and said, has Ali turned into Bruce Forsyth?
Why is that?
Somebody else has now come in and said, you thought that they were your favourite.
Oh, here we go. Always the same. Everyone, I'm going to be honest, guys. Bill is my favourite. I'm confirming it as an exclusive on the Effing Bag Show. Bill is 125% my favourite. Unless you've got some money to give me, in which case, if you give me some money, I might change my mind.
That was Aaron
Rule. I'm not doing so far.
Aaron Rule. Oh, I love Ruley, but Bill's my favourite. Come on. Love you, Ruley.
But we can vouch for that, Ali. For the last 7 weeks, you've been talking about Bill. So we can vouch that Bill is your favourite. We're sorry, everyone.
Max, does anybody know Max Eno?
Do you?
Max Eno has come in and said, hello, Bill. You must have scored at some point, maybe a penalty.
No, funny you're saying that. I did take a penalty for one side, and really we shouldn't have done it because we were 9-0 up. And it was really taking the mick calling me up to take the penalty. But I've gone up and I've hit it really hard. And as it sailed over the crossbar, there were a row of houses behind the goal, even with a garden. And I can remember seeing the ball just sail over the top of these houses. And I thought, how far under that's gone? So, yeah, I've been called out once, but I shouldn't have done it because I think that was taking Mickey a bit. But at the end of the day, the biggest ball was me missing it.
Is there one goalkeeper out there, Bill, that you would have loved to have coached, maybe professionally, you know, a professional goalkeeper that you'd love to have coached, but you never did?
No. The problem with goalkeeping coaching in non-league, and all goalkeeper coaches will say the same, you've never got enough time. My ideal time in non-league would be 2 nights a week training, at least an hour. But because of different reasons, you know, you don't get that. I possibly enjoy coaching the younger guys, the young lads, because the learning curve is that much steeper. With the senior goalkeepers, you don't coach so much. You concentrate on two things, conditioning and reaction. Take the last two goalkeepers I've been working with, Lou Carey and Nicky Blue. There's not much you can tell them as regards the techniques. You can remind them about some things they haven't done on the previous Saturday, but generally is that conditioning, that is the most important thing. That is for senior goalkeepers. Now, a year ago, before we had the lockdown, I was working with young keepers, and I think I had about 6. And that is when you had a bit more time and you work on the techniques. Big, big difference between working on techniques and conditioning.
So, Bill, when you were growing up and you were playing, who did you look up to as a goalkeeper in the professional game? Who did you look at and think, I really want to play
A guy you probably never heard of, he played for Cheltenham, was a guy called Sam Bartram. In fact, I've even named a road after him outside the football club. And I remember once when I was a kid, it was coming up to Christmas, and I was in this local store with my mum, and who walks by was Sam Bartram. Now, when you see, you know, that's how it was, and he was my god.
And is there any reason that you really liked him? Was it his style, or was there anything about him that you really admired?
Well, to be honest, when I went to watch professional football, Charlton and Millwall were the two teams I watched, and Sam stuck out more than the other keepers.
Nice. And who do you rate now in today's football?
Well, it's goalkeepers.
Yeah, in the professional game. Who do you think, they're really good?
I think I would give my vote to Pickford. He comes in for a lot of criticism, But as his manager says, he's never let England down. So I would think, but then this other guy at Burnley, Pope,
yeah.
I think he'll be in there soon.
My only gripe with Pickford is he should have got sent off against Van Dijk, but let's not rehearse that little story.
We had a question coming, Bill, from someone called, let's have a look, called Alison. What's your thoughts on Thierry Henry, Bill?
For fuck's sake!
What's your thoughts on Thierry Henry, Bill, as a striker?
Alison, you're no longer welcome on the F and Bag Show.
I don't know about that. Well, yeah, a great player.
Thanks, Bill.
Thierry Henry.
Sorry, Emily. It's a late birthday present, that one.
I think what it is, Bill, he's got a good pair of hands.
You are the fucking reason I drink.
Definitely got a good pair of hands.
But yeah, he's not a goalkeeper, is he, though?
A guy called Craig Holloway's come in, and he said that...
I know, Craig.
Yeah, came into Craig to sit on the bench through the playoffs to help out. Only was for a couple of weeks, but Bill was a true gent. Great manner.
Yeah, I like Craig. Nice guy. Of course, he was at Arsenal for a time.
Mm.
And like you said, he came down. I think he's got his own goalkeeping academy. And, he would be a good coach.
I think if I'm right, Craig's involved with Crystal Palace in some description as a coach. I think it's Crystal Palace Foundation. He's quite good. He's a good coach.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you see so many coaches now. I mean, you know, the young... Where was it? You know, you used to sort of do coaching at the end of your footballing career. They now come into it rather than play and become coaches.
Mm. Bill, you obviously work really closely with Ali, because obviously you work at Cray Wanderers, and Ali's obviously a different league to everyone else. But what do you... Because obviously you're an older generation. What do you think about women being heavily involved in football in the backroom team?
Be nice, Bill.
No, this is not being PC. I think it's tremendous. Are we talking about the general, like the techniques?
No, in general, just because obviously one of my friends, his uncle, bless him, is, I don't know, he's 82 or 84, and I used to do some therapy with him, and he said to me, I really think you're good at your job and I really follow where you are in football. I was at Brentwood at the time and he followed Brentwood scores. And he said to me, I just can't get my head around women in football. And I genuinely thought it was a generational thing for him. But I just want to know what your thoughts are, like, as in, do you think it's good to have them around? Or
I think their techniques and everything, like I said earlier, as you've all... I think they're great. I can remember watching the Arsenal play, Arsenal women's football team. And I think I was at Thurrock at the time. And they had this young lady playing down the left-hand side. And the crosses she was knocking in, unbelievable. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, I wish we had somebody like that, if we get down the line and put balls in like that. No, it's good. But there is this, I know what you mean, there is this thing, I can't get my head around women playing football.
It's not a nasty thing, he wasn't being nasty, bless him, it was just a generational thing, I think. But a few weeks ago, we did have a comment from a listener who wondered why women were speaking about football. But clearly we have something to say because he was listening, so. Hi, Patrick!
I'll be fair, Emily, to Bill. Bill is... phenomenal with the physios. He's got a goalie with a slight injury or any problems, he's straight up to me going, Ali, I'm going to do this with them. What do you think about this? Could you come out and watch what I'm doing? And we really work so beautifully, collaboratively. So Bill is the shining light of football to show you how to work together, you know? You really are, Bill.
I'm going to get big-headed after.
I know, mate.
Were you talking about... You talking about women's football, there's a very big football match on tonight, and at the minute it's Arsenal 2, Manchester United 0 in that tussle for the Champions League spots in the WSL tonight. So it's...
Let's go, Man United, let's go!
Arsenal are down.
But coming back to coaching, it's a great thing to do, because when I retired, I said to him, I said, well, what am I going to do with my time? So I was working for four Lewisham schools, and you know, working with the kids, which I thought would be tremendous. In fact, I used to go into the playground, and we used to have a hut at the end where we had all the equipment, and I was like the Pied Piper. I'd be going over there, and all the kids would be running up behind me. Can I help you, sir? Can I? No. It's this way.
Who's the best manager you've worked for?
That is a loaded question.
Put your fingers in your ears, Tony Russell.
Can I warn you? I think Tony is listening, Bill, so be kind.
Put your fingers in your ears, Tony.
I'm going to get you my P45.
Can I come back to the five?
Of course you may, Bill.
I think a five.
As long as Tony's in it, we're all good.
Well, he knows he's in there. Okay, let's start with Tony. Tony is really a relative young manager. I mean, I don't think he's been managing all that time. And in that time, he's got three promotions with three different clubs. And I wouldn't mind that on my CV. Before that, I was at Hornchurch with Jimmy McFarland, another good coach, Colin McBride. Then he was at Thurrock. And of course, the guy who really gave me a lot of influence was the first manager at Dulwich Hamlet, Peter Gleeson. All different characters, different views on the game. But did I mention five or four?
Four.
But that would be my top group. Being a manager, one of the first things you've got to do is get your staff around you. Very important. Now, take my current club, well, Cray Wanderers. Tony's got three very able assistants. He's got Joey Vines as assistant, Nathan as coach, and Grant Hall as goalkeeper coach. Then we come to another two important people. The physio, or the sponge woman, and the kit manager. Very important people. So when you're a manager, I'm getting off a bit off the subject of your question, but when you're a manager, the first two most important things, player and staff recruitment.
Yeah.
If you haven't got those, you're struggling. And everybody gels. And that's what we've got down. That's what we've got down at Cray Wanderers.
I've got a slightly linked question, actually. But honestly, Bill, you're giving me so many segues today. It's brilliant. Thanks, mate. It's Mark over at Cray, one of the Cray Massive. They've been really in on this, the Cray Massive today. It's been amazing. So why do you think, Bill, so few goalkeepers go on to become managers at the top level? You said about Nuno at Wolves and Mike Walker was quite a while ago. But why do you think they tend to not to play longer and not to go into management?
I don't really know. I would suggest that the age thing doesn't come into it. It would be nice to talk to an ex-goalkeeper who became a manager and get his views on it. But all I can say is that looking at all the keepers who have become managers, they haven't won many things. Let me give you an example. Just after the war, there was a guy called George Swindon, manager, goalkeeper at Arsenal. He left Arsenal, went into non-league, came back to manage Arsenal, and all they were was an average side. Now, I can't think of any one goalkeeper that's really made a success being a manager in the Football League or the higher echelons of non-league. I only know of one manager who was a goalkeeper and who did a double. I only know one manager. Is somebody going to ask me who?
I'm going to ask you, Bill.
Go on, mate. Who is it?
Is it you?
Yeah. Oh, did he see the grin on my face?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was, I tell you what it was. I was manager of Billericay Reserves. And I apologise for losing my voice. What time did I lose my voice? I was in between clubs and the manager at Billericay asked me to take over the reserves, which I did. And I went there in beginning of October and we won the senior section of the Essex Senior League. And we also won the cup. And what I really enjoyed of the team, eight signings were mine. I didn't take over the successful club. Yeah, that's one of my highlights.
Well, someone's just coming with the goalkeeper that I was thinking of, and that is Dino Zoff.
Yeah, well, Dino Zoff. I mean, Dino Zoff was 40, still playing in goal for the national side. Won the World Cup back in the early 80s.
82.
But again, you see, it's an exception. Mm. I would be scratching my head to think of anybody in England that you could say, yeah, he was a successful manager. Mm. I mean, another example I've already talked about, Peter Shilton and Ray Clements, both managed clubs, but never really won anything. Mm. And they just disappeared out of the game.
I mean, I suppose one of the surprising things as well is some of the goalkeepers have actually worked under some really, really good managers. Mm. You know, and you think to yourself, are you surprised that they haven't gone out? I mean, the one that comes to mind would be someone like a Peter Schmeichel, David Seaman, those type of ones that have been playing under sort of like people like Arsene Wenger and, of course, also Alex Ferguson. You'd think that...
David, you're spot on. Mm. Because, you know, they would be in the dressing room. They would be on the training pitch. They would know what is going on. But for whatever reason, and I'm not sure, they don't become successful managers.
Mm. Absolutely.
I really don't fancy being Kasper Schmeichel following in those footsteps. I mean, talk about big boots to fill. Is that me following Ali?
Yeah. But again, with Peter Schmeichel, I don't know when he finished his career, what did he do? I don't know.
Yeah. But do you think that must be hard, though, Bill, when someone like Peter Schmeichel and as Emily just said, you know, someone like Kasper happened to follow his dad after a career that his dad had? Must have been very, very difficult for the lad, but I think he's done a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I think once you became established in the side, people, just accept it. I could think of a player who I know, Danny Greaves. You know, his dad was Jimmy Greaves. Mm-hmm. I would imagine if you spoke to him, he'd probably find... I think he made it as a pro for a bit at Southend. But I think, I'm only guessing, I think he would tell you how hard it was in the early days because people would always make that comparison. Mm. But coming back to Schmeichel, I mean, he's an established Premiership goalkeeper now.
Mm. Oh, 100%. And I watched an interview with his dad a few months ago with Peter Schmeichel, and he said that when he went to Man United, he changed the culture of how goalkeepers trained with the first team, because he was told when training was on, okay, you go over there and you train with the goalkeepers on your own. And he said, no, what's the point? I need to train my team. These are the people who are going to stand in front of me on a Saturday.
Yeah.
like, is that something you're quite feel quite strongly about? Is that goalkeepers
and this comes back. This comes back to my earlier point, from purely from the coaching or conditioning point of view. You always say, I don't get enough time. But to be fair with Tony at Cray Wanderers, when it came to pre-season, I used to have a lot of time with the keepers. But it's the Thursday night bit. But obviously, you've got to bring the keeper in to get involved with the first team, which is only right. But then, you know, you lose the conditioning bit.
I think after this interview, Bill, you'll get as much time as you want.
Yeah. As you want,
I think after tonight, Bill, you'll get as much time as you want. Tony will be like, have it all.
Well, no, I mean, I'm no longer a goalkeeping coach.
What you say?
My position is goalkeeping coach in brackets, retired.
And all okay, I'm sure you retired 2 years ago, Bill, but you're always back pre-season. You're always back every game. Like, and I love
it. Is it one of these retired?
Oh, don't start holding up fingers, because I'll say, oh, God.
Retired.
Yeah. Well, basically, what I do now, I'm a helper. If I can help people, help the club, I'm only too pleased. But I do enjoy working with the young goalkeepers.
Someone's just come in and said, Nigel Atkins, probably the only one who has had some sort of longevity.
Nigel Atkins.
Someone's come back in there and said that. And then somebody else has said, I'm informed that Jose Mourinho was a keeper, though obviously not a good goalkeeper.
Well, that's news to me. I didn't know he was a goalkeeper.
He should have stuck to it, shouldn't he, really, after last night?
Yeah. But, you know, when he came, I think his problem is, one of his problems, you never see the guy smile. Now, when he first came to Chelsea, he would say things, but he always had that glint in his eye. Seriously.
Yeah.
He was the special one, and he would say things outrageous, but you knew some of it was tongue-in-cheek because he had that little smile in his eye. You never see that now. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
It's all po-faced all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely
Yeah. And I think if you go about like, if you do that, I think sometimes that rubs up on people.
Bill, I've got a slight coaching question from you from Pat, again, from the Cray Massive. It's regarding goal kicks. He said, so you only work with the young'uns at Cray. He said, for a goal kick, what did you favour yourself, which is a full volley, half volley, or a good old-fashioned sidewinder? And what do you tend to teach now to the kids when you're working with them at Cray?
Well, to be honest, when I was working with the young keepers, we didn't have all that much time for kicking. Mm. We just worked on what was going to be his main job, stopping that ball going between those three sticks. But what I do with young goalkeepers, again, if we get the time, just standing out 6 yards from the goal, I'm talking about a 10, 12-year keepers, and just practice the volley. That gets their timing right. That gives them the feel of the ball. And then as we go on, then obviously still kicking into the goal, because seriously, you get the balls back quicker. If you start launching them straight down the pitch, you've got people running after balls all the time. So do a lot of what I call network. Start off with your volleys and then say, okay, once you've got that, start your half volleys. And then the hardest one is the dead ball. Now, what we see now, and what my last two keepers can do, is the sidewinder. That's when it's exactly that. I'm not going to stand up and try one. I'll probably fall over. You know, you hit it, and the elevation is just so high, so it's going through. Now, when you see the keepers do that now, and you see them turning defences. And we try to do it on the angle. And the sidewinders, they love it. even the senior ones.
We've had two more questions come in, or two statements as well. A statement and a question. And one of them both of them from people you probably know, Bill. First one's from Sam Wright. He said, all goalkeepers have a screw loose, probably why they don't make good managers. And then Steve's come back in again. He says, Bill, if you was in charge, who would your three goalkeepers be for the Euros?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, let's start with the Euros. I've already said I would go with the number one, Pickford, because as Southgate says, he's never let England down. Mm-hmm. The second one, I'd have the Burnley kid keeper. And the third one, there was a young boy, I think, you know, I can't even remember which club he came on for now, but I'm not sure about the third one. I don't see enough keepers at that level. But definitely those two.
To be fair, Bill, Pickford's out. You might get a shout, mate. I'll campaign for it. I don't mind. We'll get you to the Euros, Bill.
Yeah. When did he pick his team? Is it?
He's just picked it, I think.
He's picked it for the next three games, but yeah. The Euros will be later on. But I mean, I saw Dean Henderson last night, and everybody rants and raves about Dean Henderson. I saw him last night for Manchester United last night, and he looked like a bit of a rabbit in the headlights last night. He didn't look like he was as good as everybody was making him out to be.
Yeah. How old is he now?
No, he must be early 20s, is he? Early 20s, is he? Mid-20s?
Yeah.
He just didn't look comfortable at all. He just looked like the whole thing.
Well, I saw him play the week before, and I thought he should have done better with that goal.
He's 24, Dean Henderson.
But of course, the goalkeepers now, you know, they look, because the fashion is now to play out from the back. And then Pep, when he took over, why did he bomb out Joe Hart? Because he felt that he wasn't up to playing the way that he wanted. Get the ball down, play out of your fullbacks. Now you've got me on that subject. I think sometimes we tend to overplay a bit. Because when I did my first coaching course, that was in 1965, you tended to... He was always being told the first pass, look for the forward pass. And the guy who used to emphasise this all the time was the guy who went on to manage England, Bobby Robson. But he had a thing about this forward pass. And I believe in that. Now, okay, there might be a time when you can't pass it forward. So you look inside and you look for the square pass. There might be times when you're trying to play out time and you're knocking around at the back, because there's nothing more frustrating, is there? You know, you're on top of the game, you're looking for that goal, and all of a sudden the opposition is knocking the ball around and you can't get the ball. And sometimes, if you're trying to take the sting out of a game, in other words, you're 1-0 up, 5 minutes to go, you're being bombed, knock it around at the back. Mm-hmm. But be so careful. Mm-hmm. Because 3 weeks ago, did you see Arsenal play Burnley?
I think we all did. I think sadly David saw too much of it, Bill.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did, unfortunately, Bill.
In all the years, how many years was it, Ali, I said I've been in football?
60, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you say I was only 85?
I think not a couple of years off your bill the other day.
I wouldn't mind being 85 again.
To me, Bill, you're 21, any other way.
Yeah. But that Arsenal goal, has anybody seen that? Did you see it?
I did, unfortunately, Bill. Yeah.
Have you two ladies seen it?
Again, unfortunately, I did, Bill. I did laugh a little bit, I won't lie.
Now, as I was saying, in all my 60 years, odd years, I've never seen a goal like that, right? The goalkeeper should never pass the ball to him in the first place. He's 12 yards out, facing his own goal, and he's been, the opposition is coming up behind him just a few yards. And then he's turned to his left, and he's like, what, clip it over that guy, then number nine, to the other fullback, and all he's done is hit him and it's gone in. Henry, when you go home tonight, I know you've got nothing to do when you get home. Have a look at that goal. Burnley playing Arsenal. It was would you? And if we ever meet again, we'll talk about that and get your view on it.
You're on, Bill. It's a date.
Yeah. Never seen anything like that. But again, a few weeks ago, I saw the Liverpool goalkeeper. He's throwing the ball out to his fullbacks. It was just a few yards away from the corner flag.
We all saw that, Ben.
And the Liverpool guy had to knock it long, and they lost the ball because when you knock it long, the opposition are facing the right way. They'll always be favourite to win the ball. So he knocked it up, and they've lost possession 35 yards away from goal. Now,
I saw it.
We've got to be a bit more careful, because again, if you give that slit square pass and it gets intercepted straight away, you've got two of your players out of the game. So where's the overload, then?
Yeah. Agreed. So in football, Bill, you hear all the time, I think we heard it on Monday night from Sam Saunders on the Monday night show. He said he was always told he was too small to play football. Aken Fenwa, who plays for Wycombe Wanderers, was told he was too big to play football. And when I was in Benfica, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, Thibaut Courtois, and he's 6'6". Now, this is not a loaded question, Bill, but do you think size matters when it comes to goalkeepers?
Oh, yeah, it does now. If I talk to a goalkeeping coach at a pro club and we talk about players, and I talk about a player I've seen, nearly every time that coach will say to me, how tall is he? And I think, if you want, like, the industry standard, want of a better word, is 6'3". Now, I can remember when I started playing, if you were over 6 foot, and I was just about 6 foot, if you were anything over that, oh, yeah, you don't get down to the shots. You do. 6'3", you're just as good as reaction. You're just as agile. You can be just as agile at 6'3". As you can at 5'11" or whatever.
Well, Bill, we've got something for you. We've been working on this, and between me and Ali, we've been working on this for the last week or so, Ali.
Yeah, sorry, Bill.
And we've got something to show you. And hopefully it works perfectly, because it's the first time we've ever done this, the first time I've ever done this, to try and play a video on this show that's not live with the four of us. So this is the very first time I've tried to do it. So apologies to anybody at home if this goes wrong, and I do apologise. But it's about a 7-minute video, Bill, and it's basically stuff that me and Ali have tried to do this week. And hopefully everybody at home will get to see this in a minute, if it all works perfectly okay, and hopefully it will, but we're just queuing it up now. And hopefully everybody at home will be able to see this video. So this is a video that we've managed to put together for Bill, and this is a few people here that you might recognise, a few people that have actually done voiceovers for you, a few people that have actually sent in video messages for you as well. I do apologise. The last one is my voice, but that's only because at the time we were struggling.
I take it, I can say this, can't I?
Yeah, Bill, I'm going to send them all to you once this is done.
Yeah, we'll send them.
Listen, it's not going to get me in trouble, is it?
Not Bill.
So this is a 9-minute video, and this is basically a tribute to you, sir, from everybody that loves you as much as everybody in the show here loves you. So sit back, enjoy this, and hopefully everybody at home can see this. If you can't, give me a text, and we'll see what we can do.
An appreciation voice note here for the legend is Bill Lambertage. Just tell you a little bit about him as a bloke from what I've experienced. He took me in when I was at Cray Wanderers. I was working under himself and Darren Beshitt. And I went there in a time in my life where I weren't properly enjoying football. It weren't great. Things weren't great in my personal life either. And you know what he did is the man was able not just to make me love playing football again, have a passion for goalkeeping, but what he did is he had that human side that as a young lad, he asks you about how your day is, like what's going on with your personal life, your family, and just, he's one of them people, it might seem like something that's very, very small, but what he does around the football club, a price cannot be put on that. I speak to him semi-regularly now, and we check in with each other when we can. He's an amazing man. Thinking about him makes me smile. And he's a testament to every single player that's come through a club and had that sort of correspondence with him. He's definitely had an effect on always for the better. Always for the better. The guy's an institution. And I firmly believe that there are probably, I reckon, 50% of goalkeepers in non-league that have fallen out of the game if they had Bill. Yeah, ain't happening. Do you know what I mean? I just think that he's great around the young people with his wealth of experience, but also even around experienced lads. The time when I was at Cray, we had a very experienced team, and he just goes from strength to strength. He's amazing, absolutely amazing, beautiful human being. Bill, if you're listening to this, mate, I just want to let you know that I love you lots. And when I pull my finger out and actually get married, been engaged for too long now, you have a seat at the top table. All right, just keep some of the stories that we spoke about during training sessions to a minimum, please, because obviously the missus, mum and dad are going to be at the table. But yeah, you've been amazing, mate, and just thank you for everything you've ever done for me. It means the world. Love you, mum. Bye.
Massive hello to me old mate Bill. I'm pretty terrible at things like this, so I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet. Obviously, I'd like to say that, you know, it's an absolute pleasure turning up to training or games and getting to see you sit down next to you and have a little chat, you know. And you share them life stories with me about, like, you know, when you and the boys go to Magaluf and get up to all your craziness. Bill, you're an absolute legend, mate. And an inspiration. Whenever I see you, you're always full of laughter, life, even at the ripe old age of 102. So there's nothing more I can really say, Bill. I can't wait to get back to some sort of normality where, you know, I can come back to football and hopefully see you around and share some more life stories with yourself, mate. Legend.
Hey,
Bill. It's JT. Just wanted to give you a quick message saying well done for getting on and doing stuff like this, what you're doing. I'll be listening in, and I hope everyone can take little pockets of wisdom away from it like I do from you. First thing I ever saw from you where I thought, Jesus, he knows his stuff, was when you printed out that picture for me, mate, and I turned up, got out my car at training, you pulled me over, you went, "Hey, Joe, you printed off a picture of me," and I was looking up after my first touch, and you said to me, "It's so important you do that, and I'll be showing this picture to my young lads. After your first touch, you look up and you make sure you carry on doing that." And all them little moments of wisdom, and all the time I stop to speak to you, it's always a pleasure for me, mate, and it's great to have you around me when I'm playing. And I just hope you're doing well, mate. So keep going. I'll see you soon. Catch up soon, mate.
Hi, Bill. Hope you're well. Hope you're doing well during COVID. Hope you're keeping safe. As you can see, I've got a smile on my face. I hope you've got a smile on your face as well, like you always taught me. got to keep smiling through these hard times sometimes, but I hope you're doing well. And as we talked about, we'll link up soon after COVID. Have a good one.
Yes, Bill, you old man. How are we? I hope you and your family are keeping well, mate, and you're staying safe. Just a quick one, really, just to say, can't wait to see you back in the changing rooms. I keep thinking back to when you banged your head on the post, thinking you were like Peter Schmeichel in his prime. I was in the changing rooms and word got about and I was expecting to come out and find you like half asleep or sprawled out on the floor unconscious, but you was laying there minimal fuss, didn't even probably want to go to hospital. So it's the sort of guy you are, Bill, and I absolutely love you for it. And do you know what as well? You're honest, mate. I know that if I come to you and you say to me, how do you think you play, Tom? I know you're about to tell me that I play put. And you'll tell me, but then you'll put your arm around me and you'll tell me there's always next week. So listen, Bill, I hope you stay safe. And I can't wait to see you soon, mate. You legend.
Chatting, Bill. Young Dan. I hope you're well, mate. Obviously, long time no speak. I just wanted to give you a quick message. Just firstly to say how grateful I am for the way you treated me when I first come in. The period of my life I was going through at the time, you really helped me on a personal level aside from the football as well. So for me, you're one of the best people I've probably ever met in the game, hands down. So I hope you're well, mate, and hopefully we can catch up soon. But hope lockdown's treated you well, mate, and hopefully football comes back and you know, we can all meet up soon. So have a good day, mate, and like I said, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Yes, Bill, I was going to recite one of the many stories that you told me on this little video, but there's so many good ones, mate. It would be unfair just to say one. Just wanted to say that you're an absolute legend at the club and in football, mate. Every ground that we go to away, someone knows you and has always got so much good stuff to say to you, mate. I'm looking forward to seeing you back on the training pitch, even at your young old age of 64. Take care, mate. I'll see you soon.
Bill Lappage, the man that taught me so much in so little time. What a legend and non-league. Can't wait till it's back to normal. We'll go for a brunch, have a proper catch-up. Remember, he's not my mate. He's a good friend. Can't wait to see you again, Bill.
Hi Bill, it's Tony. I hope the girls are looking after you on this show. I know you're never more happier than when you're surrounded by beautiful young women, so enjoy the show tonight, mate. I just want to say thank you for the moment I've come into Cray. You've been there, mate, offering some advice and even swapping some old stories from back in the day. I mean, I think it's brilliant. I love that side of it. Love having you at training as well. I think we're lucky to have you, mate. And I know every season you say to me, this is going to be your last season, but mate, I'm not having it. I think there's plenty more years left in you yet. And, I know how much everyone at Cray, all the boys in the dressing room, me, Vinesy, Nath, Ali, how highly regarded we hold you in. So, unfortunately, mate, you can't retire yet. You've got to stay with us because if we're going to be there, you're going to be there. So you're very much.
I first met Bill when I joined Cray Wanderers in 2015. He was in the background chatting away, as he normally is, but you could tell he was eager to get involved. Since that day, we've formed a great friendship to which we still speak today, and we can't wait to meet up for a coffee and have a proper catch up. Bill's love for the game and passion for football is clear for everyone to see. His knowledge and experience of the game is invaluable. At the ripe age he is, always exploring new training techniques, watching every game on the telly as possible. And I'm sure that when the season starts again, he will be at the first day of pre-season telling Vinesy about what he had learned. We've always had a laugh, whether it's on the pitch or off. It's not afraid to tell the story or two. These stories will keep you entertained for hours and he will always make you laugh and smile. Just don't let him look after your dog as you might not get it back. Ha, sorry, Bill. I think to see someone of Bill's age continuing to be out on the pitch in his training gear or all dressed up in a shirt and tie ready for the evening of dancing down the local club, I reckon he was a bingo caller myself. He is a credit to any football club, more often known as a legend. Apart from all of this, I learned very quickly that he is a family man at heart. He's kind, caring, and always thinking of everyone else before himself. I'm one of the lucky ones, as I'm not only get to say that he was my goalkeeping coach, but he's still what I class to be a close friend. Can't wait to catch up soon, Bill.
There you go, Bill. I'll tell you what, that was unbelievable.
I
think it's one of those things, Bill, that I can't personally find the adequate words to tell you how amazing you are, Bill. So I thought, you know what? Let's go around your football family and find out how much we love you. And I know that it's been tough in lockdown, Bill. I think we both suffered, you and I, as of everybody else in football, each other. And I think that it's a chance to let you know we haven't forgotten, Bill. We love you and we can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much, Bill, for everything you've done for us, really. Thank you from Cray, really, because you've been a great servant to Cray Wanderers. And long may it continue.
I'm going to try and pause him for Phoenix. Sorry.
But in all fairness, Bill, I mean, literally, Bill, an absolute legend. I've never seen a response to a show like this, you know, for a long, long time. You know, as soon as your name was mentioned, it was crazy. You know, Ali said to me, look, you know, can we put a video together, Dave? I said, yeah, let's have a go. I was at work and my phone went ballistic. It was just beep, beep, beep for ages and ages and ages. We've all messages for you. And, you know, and you, as you say, it took me ages to try and get some type of emotion into Nick's. I must have done it about four or five times. But they all absolutely love you, sir. And I think anybody that's watched this show tonight can now see that may not have met you. I've not met you myself personally, and I'd love to meet you, you know, but... seeing you on this show tonight and see what you've had to say on the show tonight. And I think everybody now can see why Cray Wanderers, Ali, and everybody down there loves you so much. And everybody that you've touched in non-league football, you know, football-wise, you know, you can see that that's the case, that everybody absolutely loves you and the reasons why.
I just like to say that, Ali, we need to take a moment here. Tony Russell referred to us as good-looking young ladies. I'm taking that and I'm running.
That's probably my pay rise, though, that compliment.
You put good looking and young in the same sentence.
Listen, I won't let this go to my bed. Listen, you know, you've been lovely people. You've been very kind to me tonight. And I will make sure that I thank all the people that said nice words about me. And I hope that, you know, I never let the side down. That's the main thing.
Never mind.
Not once, Bill. I think that people, when I put out that message to ask for videos, people were clamouring, honestly, Bill, to tell me. And I asked them, can I have 30 seconds? And honestly, not a single person kept to it, because I think they all had so much love to share for you, mate. And, you know, it's testament to your amazingness, Bill. And once lockdown's done, I'm going to have a big hug. I'm going to go out for dinner again.
It was an enjoyable evening.
It was lovely.
What we'll do, Bill, we'll send you that video so you've got a copy of that. So we'll make sure you get a copy of that so you get...
I'd love that.
No, we'll give that to you, mate. We certainly will. But listen, the time has flown by again tonight. We really have... We've been on about nearly an hour and a half now.
Hour and a half.
So we've overrun a little bit, but what a fantastic evening it's been. And hopefully...
I hope everybody's enjoyed it. I should probably always lose my voice, but there you go.
Fingers crossed, Bill.
I'm losing my hair, my voice.
We'll try and get you to come back on. We'll try and get you to come back on again at a later date as well.
Can I just have the last word?
Yeah, go on.
So, David, all the Essex boys want me to go back to Magaluf this year. I mean, what should I do? Come and tell me.
Bill, I'll come and tell you over a drink, and then we can both go to Magaluf. How does that sound?
I think I've lost my goalkeeping
coach. I'm in paper. It was lovely meeting you, David.
You're a star.
And I'm going to feel a hug when I meet you in person.
I'm up for that.
Well, me, Ali, and Emily, and hopefully Courtney, if she's not working, we'll be back next week. But until then, thank you for watching and thank you for listening to the wonderful and amazing Mr. Bill Lepage. Thank you,
and we will see you again. And stay safe.